So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parikshito Tarajasher. Janma karma valapanam sapstam cha pandu putranam bhakshe krishna katodayam. Sutta Goswami thus addressed the rishi headed by Shonaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of Lord Krishna and topics of the birth, activities, and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage among kings, as well as the topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and takes part with them in daily activities. Any historical fact, old or new, which has connection with the narrations of the Lord is understood as a transcendental narration of the Lord. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas and Mahabharata are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related to the Lord. One second. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a Purana. But the special significance of this prana is the activities of the Lord are central and not just supplementary facts. Hi, Bo. Someone just got on. You have to mute your phone. Hi, Bo. Srimad Bhagavatam is thus recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the spotless prana. There's a class of less intelligent devotees of the Bhagavad Purana who desire to relish at once the activities of the Lord narrated in the 10th canto without first understanding the primary cantos. They are under the false impression that the other cantos are not concerned with Krishna, and thus more foolishly than intelligently they take to the reading of the 10th canto. The readers are specifically told herein that the other cantos of the Bhagavatam are as important as the 10th canto. No one should try to go into the matters of the 10th canto without having thoroughly understood the purport of the other 9 cantos. Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all rasas. And the pure devotees like the Pandavas are not without Krishna. The devotees of the Lord are interlinked and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or talks of the Lord. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Tatsur Unmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Apitam yena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadha Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greeting from on the road. We just entered Manhattan, and we will pass the home of the famous mystic who lived in the Bronx, Yogi Berra. It's right there on my left. So the first canto is this history of the Bhagavatam. And the history of the Bhagavatam is very important because the history of the Bhagavatam reveals the glories of the Bhagavatam. So the sages of Namasharanya were very intrigued to hear the history. The history of the Bhagavatam is also the Bhagavatam itself. We just finished Sukadev, and even though he was Atmaramas, Chamunayo, Nigranat Yukrame, Kovantahoita Kim Bhaktim, although he was Atmarama, completely satisfied, he was attracted to this literature, meaning that this literature was transcendental. And transcendental means not of this world. So if someone not interested in this world listens to a book, that book is not about this world. Which was also significant because there are indications that he was manifesting as an impersonalist who he was manifesting as a impersonalist who certainly doesn't believe any distinctions, any activities, any emotions, any exchanges are transcendental. So this must be transcendental. And of course, the history of Vyasadeva is so significant is because he was so sincere. He really showed what is the nature of a transcendentalist. Okay, I'm stopping a little bit because there was an accident right in front of us. Right in front of us. So, luckily it's right in front of us, not luckily for those people, because we just have to skirt over to the left. And we will be in the clear in about 2 seconds, except there's this big truck to our left. So, unfortunate people here. Just give me a second here. Okay, we are in the clear. Okay. So, Vyasadeva, that's so significant also because it really shows you. And this is the glory of the Bhagavatam. You know, what is a preacher? He's striving to communicate his message And I've talked about this, you know, so often about realization, the ability to communicate, and how deeply you have to understand. But what was his communication for the people of Kali Yuga after he went through so much arduous and difficult studies? What was his communication that would answer all the questions? What was it? What was his communication? It was the Bhagavatam. So the history is very significant. And now it says very, very interesting thing here that Sutta is talking about to the sages, because they're the ones that ask the questions about the Bhagavatam, and they asked three sets of questions. One was about Vyasadeva and how he got his inspiration. The second we're good? Okay. The second was about Sukadeva Goswami and how a liberated soul became attracted. And now the third question was about Maharaj Prickett. And Maharaj Prickett's history is so important because even though there was nothing lacking in his administration, he gave it up. It was his character. He was cursed. And he accepted the curse. And it was very dynamic. He was cursed. And this should be our attitude. And it's very difficult to emulate. Sadhu Mene, I think, Sadhu, this is good. Because what is happening to me will purify me, it will detach me from the world. That's our attitude. Sadhu Mene, what's happening to me is good. And in his specific thing, it would free the sin that he committed or the difficulty he committed from going to his relatives. But the first two is so applicable to us. Sadhu Mene, I think it is good. Because it will purify me of the reactions to my sins. And in doing so, will detach me from the world. And furthermore, what's even more significant, and I don't know if he naturally foresaw this, but it's interesting how everything is God's mercy. God has a plan. And you can't always see that plan when you're going through that plan. But when you look back at it, you generally understood. I mean, I look back at my life and the ups and the downs and the things that happen. And it's kind of like your life is a drama. And you know, when you see the happy ending, when you see the ending, you can understand everything else. So when you look back, you can see what was the purpose of everything. And of course, as the instructions of Bhishma Dev, no one can understand the inconceivable will of the Lord. It's very difficult to understand. But it is easier to understand when you look back on it and relate what happened to you then to what is happening now. specifically if you're in a spiritual path and your objective or goal is the elevation and purification of consciousness. If difficulty leads to good, you look on that difficulty in different ways. People torture themselves in sports. The Iron Man, they do so many things. You know, people study in school. You know, Indian families, they put so much work and study in the school. But okay, now he's a doctor. Now he's looking back. It was worth it. Often you do not see the value of an activity until you get the fruit of the activity, which is an interesting point, because if there's not a real fruit of the activity and you chose the wrong goal, then everything was useless. I've wasted my life. I've worked so hard. I've done so many things. And what is the value? And then, of course, the famous quote from Jesus Christ, what profit a man get if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? So what was the result of this horrible thing that happened to Maharaj Cricket, that he was cursed to die? He was cursed to die. And what was that about? You know, I remember when we first came to Vrindavan in the early days, there was, Murijan Prabhu makes this point once, you know, everyone's enjoying in Vrindavan, but the, you know, the pioneers of the people who came in Mayapur and Mumbai and Vrindavan and the hard work that they did. I remember when I first came, it, you know, my God, you know, and the sickness, and I got malaria, and I'm laying on the ground. I remember I'm literally laying on the ground because it's the summer, and there's chills and there's pains in my body, and I'm looking and I'm thinking to Krishna, how is this helping me in Krishna consciousness? I can't even chant the holy name. I'm so sick. But maybe when you look back and you see those experiences of how they made you humble, how they detach you from the world, God has a plan. We may not see it. You know, I look at karma as perfect for each person. Karma is the experiences you require in this world to reach perfection. Some are very, very heavy. But imagine that person with the heaviest of life, the most difficult of life, was able to assimilate and respond to all those circumstances. And his life would be perfect. And sometimes we see that. A person who went through so much difficulty and so much trouble, such a hard life. Even Prabhupada, you know, the difficulties he had in you know, leaving his home and going to New York alone. So what was the Bhagavatam was spoken. His dying was the cause of the manifestation of the Bhagavatam in this world, which is where in this Kali Yuga which is where in this Kali Yuga knowledge and religion are manifest. So we'll get to this verse, very significant. It describes Maharaj Prickett, his janma, his karma, and his balapanam, his samstam, his death. This is what they wanted to know. They wanted to hear about this person whose birth, life, and death was perfect. And his birth was perfect because Krishna appeared in his womb. With the Sudarshan, I was reading this morning, he not only appeared with the Sudarshana, but he appeared with his club, actually. He appeared in a Vishnu form, but he also appeared with his club. And he appeared with his club because in the Leela of Krishna, I speak about this in Monday morning greetings, is he has the quality of Sarvagya, all-knowing, and the quality of Mugdatta. Mugdatta means unaware, forgetfulness, because the unawareness or forgetfulness is necessary for emotion. Sarvagya, all knowing, does not lead to the variety of emotion. And Krishna's Rasavai Saha is the height of love, which manifests in drama, which has the full variety of emotions. I mean, so much of our emotion is because we don't know what's going to happen. So Krishna also has this quality. So he's going into the womb and he says, let me bring my club. This is one commentary that Radha Govinda Swami was speaking. Let me bring my club. What if my Sudarshana Chakra fails? Let me also bring my club. And so he protected him in the womb. Therefore, he's known as Parikshit. Parikshit means one who examines. You search. This is why a child has to be protected. A child has to be educated. Because you search either to seek or avoid the impressions that are made in your consciousness when you're young. So if there are aklishta vrittis, they're impressions that were good thoughts of generosity, of discipline, of compassion, of devotion, then those are the things in the world you will examine to find. And sometimes if you have bad experience of good things, then you'll have impressions, you'll examine the world to avoid things that are good. For example, a girl may have a bad relationship with the father and then seek to avoid good men. But his impression was of Krishna. We have to become Parikshit in our own lives. We have to become examiners. We have to search the world for Krishna. We have to search the world for Sadhu Sangha. And we won't do that unless by some mercy we have a good impression of it. Therefore, when I'm speaking at a yoga studio at a place, I take that as such an important moment, because this may be the time where people get a good or bad impression to one degree or another. And then if I do my best and I'm able to present things in an engaging, powerful way and give people an intellectual and emotional experience of devotion, then they may become examiners and search for that. And again, the most significant thing in life is to search for the right goal. That's why we seek Sadhu Sangha. Because Sadhu Sangha gives us the right intellectual and emotional goal. That's why I come and do these programs and try to do my best. That's why I give these classes. And his activities, it mentioned before, there was nothing lacking in his administration. He was a Mahabhagavat. And when you're a leader, it is very difficult, because you're the leader with an objective and people under you, and you'll experience this in family life or any type of situation with work, you're enjoying. Different people have different goals, different objectives, different desires, and different expectations of the same thing. So it's so hard to be a leader of even a family in the modern age. Everyone is pushing. Everyone is pushing in different directions. And the quality of a good leader and to be a leader of the world, the emperor of the world, has to be a Mahabhagavat, has to be the topmost devotee, because only someone of consciousness can be inspired to make the decisions that keeps unity at this level. Look at the polarity. And it's so hard because people are growing up without responsibility and without meaning. Bored in life. That the only thing that gives them excitement is some kind of revolution, some purpose, some cause. So, and his death. God appears in the form of the Bhagavatam. God appears in the form of the devotees. It says when someone dies and the Vaishnavas are there, then the Supreme Lord himself has appeared. But it's interesting. These are not ordinary activities, and people, Prabhupada is pointing them out, that the value of something becomes its connection to Krishna, not independent of Krishna. I was just reading in the on the way here, also in the Kaliya story, I was reading that, you know, ordinarily, you know, in a material sense, the man looks at the woman looks at the man for their pleasure. but the residents of, and they value a person in relationship to their own pleasure. So many marriages, because of that, don't. Last, but the residents of Vrindavan looked at everyone, they valued everyone in relationship to Krishna's pleasure. They loved their wives, they loved their children because of their connection to Krishna and their love for Krishna. It's just like, this is a mundane example, but I know my Vyas Puja, I have relation with so many people and they love my mother. Now they love my mother independent of me, more than me. No, I'm joking, but maybe so. But initially that was it. You love someone in relation to those who you love. So there may be so many histories, but the Bhagavatam is so special, it's mentioning, because other books may only be peripherally, that's a word, connected with God in an indirect way. But in the Bhagavatam, God and the relationship with God, is front and center. And therefore, it's so interesting. It says, and now we're going to speak about the Pandavas. We're going to speak about the narrations of Krishna, because we're going to be speaking about his devotees. And what is a devotee? A devotee is one who is fixed on Krishna. What is bhakti? Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabamam Grayam Indriya. Sevom Mukhi Hi Jiva Dao. Sevom Mukhi. Mukhi means to face. Relationship of student and disciple. The disciple is not here and there and there. He's focused. Bhakti means that you're focused on God. That's what a devotee means. He's always thinking of Krishna and Krishna's servants. That's why when we read about Prabhupada, it's just Krishna, 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 Krishna. So we read about Prabhupada, but it's Krishna, Krishna, because he's constantly focused on Krishna. So we're reading about the Pandavas. But he's saying, Krishna Kata Udayam. Udaya means it gives rise to Krishna Kata. It gives rise to Krishna Kata. And that's good association. You want those people whom when you're with, you are in Krishna's world. Okay, I'm going to go to the next verse as we are now entering the signs that say Ocean Parkway, Coney Island. We're on Ocean Parkway now. And we're turning onto the road. So I'm just going to read, very interesting, in a few minutes. When the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destination, And when the sons of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasena, the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi, and delivered the heads as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking that he would be pleased. Duryodhana, however, disapproved of the heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. Well, hang on here. There's so much here. So, respective warriors in both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Interesting. They're both the Kauravas. They're both in the Kuru dynasty, but this artificial distinction was made, divide and conquer, by Duryodhana. And they were killed on the battlefield. The word for the battlefield is very interesting. It's midday. Midday means death. The word for battlefield is the place where you die. And, but it's not a place where you die, but Gateshu Viragatim, being obtained the destination deserved by the warriors. The destination deserved by the warriors. If you die on the battlefield, then Viragatim, you get the destination of the warriors. And of course, on this particular battlefield, because Krishna was present, everyone became liberated. But even we see, even today, it's very, very natural to honor war heroes, that people who actually fought in wars. It's very natural to honor them in a proper society. In a proper society, because you have values in your society, and these are the people that are going to sacrifice their life for your values. Remember, recently they had the anniversary of D-Day. That's why they call my parents' generation the greatest generation. Because they sacrificed life for values. And people actually enlisted out of values. I can't see that today. I can't see the youth today think, oh my God, for the values, you know, of a country or values, I will sacrifice my life. So that was part of Dharma, that the warriors Viragatim. There was a destination for the warriors, because Mindu, they'd be on the battlefield. And the battlefield's a place where you give up your life. Actually, today, people can't identify with these things. People's, and this is natural, because when leaders either warriors or now we have the New York find the parking spot, but I'm rooting for Al to get the good parking spot. You got it, right? Right in front. Okay, wait. I'm watching someone walk down the street that I know. Go out of the car and just call that guy. They see the guy in the door, that's somebody I know. All right? I'm just telling you. Okay, one second. This is really interesting stuff, too. There's a lot of stuff here. And the son of Dhritarashtra, he broke down Uru Dande. It says his spine was broken. Okay. You get in the car, you can hear the rest of my class. Just get in the car, you'll hear the rest of my class. I'll go for a few more minutes today, but it's really interesting stuff. So, of course, the story is Bhima hated Duryodhana because Duryodhana disrobed Draupadi and tried to kill his family. And Bhima really had that, do whatever you have to do to park the way you want. He really had that and he was fighting with Duryodhana, and they were both students of Balaram. So there was kind of like a culture. And Bhima, Duryodhana was actually much more expert with this, the chosen weapon, the club. So there was rules of war, but Bhima was stronger. So it was going on. And Krishna could see that this was not going to end. So Krishna touched his thigh, basically tell him break his thigh. Now, in the rules of battle, you can't hit below the waist. So you're not protecting the waist. So here, I think the word is Abidha means beaten, but it also means spun around. So Bhima turned his back. And then spun around. Oh, he thinks we're getting out. Anyway, he spun around and he smashed both knees right above the thing, and he was to the ground. And some at the time, Balaram came, and Balaram was kind of upset because of his honor. These are my students, and he didn't play by the rules. He didn't play by the rules, so he was actually quite upset. But Krishna kind of pacified him because he told him that, well, there's many things he told him to calm Balaram down, because no one could fight with Balaram. So actually even Yudhisthira and people around, they were a little bit worried because now Balaram was upset. But the only way he pacified him, Krishna pacified him, is he reminded him why Bhima was so angry. Because Duryodhana pulled up his dhoti, and because he won in the gambling match, the Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, he said to sit on my knee. So Bhima was restrained by Yudhisthira, but his mood was I will break your leg. I will break your leg. And he was also at a particular time, I forgot who someone sent, Vyasadeva sent Maitreya Muni, who was his disciple, to try to pacify Duryodhana and to have some kind of compromise about this. So Maitreya came and spoke to him, and then Duryodhana was so arrogant
You know, he said, okay, you know, it basically be like a modern person. Okay, whatever. You know, so he was, now he was cursed by Maitreya Muni. So he kind of convinced us. So then Balaram went off. But Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya, he was very attached to Duryodhana, but Duryodhana did so much for his family. So he's very attached to Duryodhana. So when he came there and he saw that Duryodhana was dying, when he came there and he saw that he was, this is just the setting of the story. He saw that he was dying. And then Duryodhana started to reveal to him that, you know, how Balaram, how Bhima had cheated him and what he had done. And so, you know, he saw Duryodhana dying and he really wanted to get revenge. And there are only three people left on the whole Kuru side now. There was Kripacharya, there was Ashwatthama, and there was someone else. He really wanted to get revenge, and he looked up in a tree and he saw these crows were sleeping. And then owls attacked them and were able to kill them. And then he thought, okay, this is the sign. You know, their army is superior, but if we get them when they're sleeping. So then they snuck to the battlefield. And now, because basically, there was only, see here it says, Srinjayanam, of the parties of Pandavas, but Srinjayanam is the dynasty of Srinjaya. And the dynasty of Srinjaya is actually the lineage of Drupad, King Drupad. His son was Drishtadyumna. So actually the armies of the Pandavas didn't have any armies by that time because it was all usurped by the Kauravas. So the only armies he basically had was the armies of King Drupad. And there was still one Akshohini, one division left, but there was no one. There was no one left on the other army, practically speaking, only three. But he thought, and Duryodhana. And now Duryodhana had just died. So they went and they went near the battlefield where there was a temple of Lord Shiva. And they offered some prayers and got some powers. And then they went in there and they started to kill all the soldiers that were sleeping. And the soldiers actually, after a while, they just thought some ghost. And they all started coming and practically killing each other. And he took Drishtadyumna's head and crushed it on the rock because he didn't want him to die by a weapon because he thought if he died by a weapon, then he'd get Varigatim. He'd get the destiny of the warriors. This way it's just something else, something like that. And then he beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. While sleeping, but Chakupsitam, Karma, Vigarhan, Vigar Hayanti disapproved, but Duryodhana hadn't died yet. He disapproved because now his fame would be completely ruined. that his soldiers did such a heinous act. You know, dishonor was worse than death. So people would follow the rules when they fought in battle. Not about winning, but you had to do it in an honorable way. So dishonor for a Kshatriya, it's worse than death. We have no idea the samskaras of nobility that were put into warriors. Already they were in the mode of passion. But they were ruled by this Shastra, and this goodness would rule them. And they were ruled, their passion was channeled in Dharma and service by codes of honor. I don't even know if we've met Kshatriyas in this life. Like I described, the modern Prabhupada was kind of in the Vietnam War, my generation, the me generation. Prabhupada was, you know, looking through that vision of nobility, that they didn't want to fight for their country. And it wasn't just the cause of the war and things like that. People were cowards. People didn't have that character. Prabhupada said they were sudras. And he said, yeah, of course they didn't want to fight in the war. They're sudras. Prabhupada said if the Americans became Krishna conscious, he was talking about some other part of the world, something maybe after the war, the leader would say, if there's one hair on the head of our man, there'd be fight. Through the modern lens, we cannot understand the codes of honor and the culture of honor and how character was instilled in people from their very birth, to the extent that when Krishna's father Vasudev gave Kamsa his word, don't kill my wife, I'll bring you the kids. Because he thought like this honor there, he gave his word. He gave his word. I've given you my word. So we can see when he brought back the heads. And initially, Diodna was telling him these are the heads of the Pandavas, but he was thinking, even though he was in a crisis, he said, not going to be Pandavas, because we know that Krishna was protecting the Pandavas. So it's not going to be the Pandavas. Krishna, it's not the Pandavas. Whose heads are? No, it's the Pandavas. No, whose heads are? And then finally had to reveal, and he just said, you fool. You fool. I'm dying. I'm dying. But the more painful than dying is you're letting me leave by completely, overtly ruining my reputation. Purport. Transcendental activities, just the first sentence of the Lord Sri Krishna in the Bhagavatam begin from the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. The Lord himself spoke about the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna Katha. This is Krishna Katha, and Lord Chaitanya wanted this Krishna Katha, speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada had so much faith in Krishna Katha. He's standing on the shore in Boston. How will I save these people? How will I counteract this material thing? And he started quoting the glories of Krishna Katha from the second canto of the Bhagavatam. That this is actually the power. And you know, somehow or other, I was just thinking about it. You know, you remove a thorn with a thorn. And the world has become so crazy. And, you know, and then there's that technology that brings such nasty things. But at the same sense, people are getting a lot of Krishna Katha from it. And people, I see everywhere I go, I see people reading the Bhagavatam. I mean, devotees. It's like a resurgence. Somehow simple things we forget. But a few devotees said, wow, the books are the basis. The devotees are not reading them. I will read these books. Okay, I'll stop there. Anybody like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Nice. Who else?
Thank you for your efforts.
No, it's fun. What am I doing in a car? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I thought of it. I was so excited when in your Monday morning greetings you mentioned Yogi Berra, because I'm always quoting him in connection to Krishna consciousness. But the line I'm always quoting is, it's never over till it's over. It's, I find that so applicable to Krishna consciousness. So I was so excited when you mentioned that. And of course I was laughing when you were explaining about your mother.
I can read minds, even through the internet. I like the famous quote from Yogi Berra. He said, these days they're giving kids encyclopedias in school. I used to walk to school. Anyway, no one gets it. Anyway, Gail, keep this confidential information. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, it's Janine.
Okay, Haribol. Good. Well, hope to see you today, maybe? Maybe. Okay.
Yes, I'll see you soon.
Okay, bring some beads. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, Tota, at the, what is it, the tattoo conference?
Yep, this weekend's a convention in Asbury Park.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'll miss your class today. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. I know that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrade.
Hare Bo. Hi. Few more?
Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Who?
Eugenio and Gloria.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. It's great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj,
Shri Rupa. Shri Rupa, Haribo. And?
Haribo.
And Shri Gandharika,
Haribo. Haribo, okay, good. All right, few more?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Priya.
And Priya, Haribo, good. Okay, who else? Oh, okay, we'll go, because I'm just parked in a car now. Okay, Haribo.